And welcome here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. On this radio show, we deliver you spoken word entertainment. If you've ever heard of that, well, if you haven't heard of it, you're probably smarter than most, because there really isn't any, except for this show. Anyway, welcome to our radio show, such as it is, such as wherever it is, wherever you're listening to us. On Facebook, we do get messages from folks. We get some messages, of course, from our subscribers at our BSPs, as we call them, at philhendryshow.com. I don't think I saw any comments from people last night who were in any kind of distress. I think I saw one.
Well, that one lady in Connecticut.
We do have a BSP in Connecticut. We got some folks out there. A lot of it was on our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. And there was a chap in Ohio.
Yeah, this guy talking about buck wild.
Yeah, he said that the winds were buck wild.
Who's he?
It's not a...
Well, I'm talking about a he at the wind.
No, I know he was talking about the wind, but buck wild rings a bell.
Buck wild rings a bell.
Yes. I know that I know him. Oh, God. Now I know.
Yeah, I better not say.
Yeah, let's not start right away.
What was he going to say?
I don't know. Who was Buck Wild?
Well, Phil, it's none of your business.
Well, ma'am, Ms. Brent, can I say something?
Yes.
If you brought up a man named Buck Wild on the air...
I know where you're going with this, Robert. Then you must have wanted to say something about him.
I know where you're going with this, Robert. You must have wanted to say something. Just leave it at that. I knew a man named Buck Wild at a time when I first came to Hollywood, and I was eager to start working. And let's just leave it there.
Well.
No, you don't know. You think you know and you don't.
Well, three guesses.
Yeah, that's three guesses. Stand a reason, Buck Wild, probably, you know.
Yeah, we better not say it.
Don't say it, because I don't want you to get upset, Margaret, and we're not trying to upset you. But when you say the guy's name was Buck Wild and you were eager to start working.
Oh, I see. So that must mean I'm ready to pull my pants off. Is that it?
Well, I mean...
Is that it? Is that what you're saying to me? I mean, it might be true, but is that what you are assuming about me? Is that what I give off? Do I give that off?
No, but you give off, well...
Don't...
You talk about giving off, talk about a smell.
No, I'm not talking about a smell.
Margaret, just leave, okay? If you don't want me to ask you about it, I won't ask you about it, okay? You knew a guy named Buck Wild. You were eager to start to work. Does that mean that I pulled my pants off? Well, maybe I did, but is that what I'm giving off?
God, you have such hatred in you, you know?
Margaret, I don't have hatred. I'm sorry, you know.
I
don't have any hatred. I just would rather we talk straight here, okay? And...
Well, if I tell you straight, then you've got that and that, and the two of those will react in ways that I don't like and that make me violent.
All right, you two guys keep your mouths shut. Buck, what was it?
They were what were... Well, I need to talk to my husband first.
All right, fair enough. We'll talk. Can we... You want to call him now?
No, what are you... Oh, God. You're real eager to get the filth out, aren't you?
All right, well, call him at the break, then. It doesn't matter. So anyway, Margaret knew a guy named Buck Wild.
So anyway, Margaret knew a man... You can't wait to get that out there, can you?
If you knew a guy named Buck Wild, I was talking about a guy on the fan page that was telling me the winds were Buck Wild. And you said, who's he?
Yes, because it rang a bell.
All right. Let the record show I at no time attempted to take this in that direction.
Yeah, Mr. Henry was talking about a wind.
I certainly don't need Gloyd 1...
Gloyd 1, that is very insensitive.
I don't need it interpreting for you.
Call me Gloyd 1.
All right, bud, just keep out of it. Part of the problem is you butt in, man. If I'm talking to her, I'm talking to her. Sorry, folks. Anyway, welcome to the show. God.
Every show, man, every show. You got always start a fight with every show.
I didn't do it.
I mean, just easy. Welcome to the show. America is cleaning up, picking up, sweeping up, mopping up, getting out the old suck vac, whatever it is, the wet vac. Because it was one hell of a rock and roll night last night across the eastern part of this country. Talked, as I said, with our friends. We talked with my friend Barry in Washington, but we also had communication with some friends in New York, and certainly saw a lot of tweets from people living in New York. And they're interesting to read, but there was a universal praise for FEMA on Twitter last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
Universal praise for, and I'm not exactly, did they bust FEMA out this early? I don't know. But the praise that I also saw that I thought was good was they were just simply praising the city. And who knows, the story may change, you know, over the next couple of days. We may get people saying, you know, hey, all this praise for FEMA and all, you know, it wasn't exactly like that. But I did see that. The other thing that I thought was needs to be pointed out is the real terror of this storm was not in New York City. There was a lot of water and there was a lot of inconvenience. And there's a lot of companies located in New York City that do business across the country. A lot of telecommunications, a lot of new media. Our the company we work with, Squarespace, is located in Soho. They were bailing water this morning at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I saw that email, man. They said they're down there with buckets.
Yeah, they're bailing, man.
They were. They were downstairs, you know, bailing.
What do you mean? I'm still in the bathroom. What do you mean bailing?
Margaret, I'm not talking to you while you're sitting in the can, okay?
Fine.
Bailing, what I mean by bailing is bailing out. I mean, they were... but the data was safe, everything was safe, and there were a number of companies like that, and they posted a message, which we reposted on our website, and we appreciate that, Squarespace, good people there. Also, our video equipment guys, Marlin, they're in New Jersey, and they posted a message saying to all of our customers, we're good, they're up and running, everything's good there, they're in Jersey, and because of that pinwheel motion that these storms have, you can well imagine... that the winds on the outer edge of that pinwheel get going much, much faster than, and they're much more potent in terms of their ability to wreak havoc than the interior winds. And so those are the ones that were pushing that water into New York Harbor, pushing that water into the river there, the two rivers, and causing that flooding. But really, that wasn't where the major terror of this storm in terms of damage. There were fatalities in, I don't know, something like 7 or 8 states. But it was really closer to the eye of the storm, which was in Maryland and going up through southern Pennsylvania. And we looked at the weather map last night. We could see it was very, very clear, you know, that it was. And so talking to friends in D.C., they said, man, all night long we could hear stuff crashing and we heard things smashing. And we heard, now I got a, here's a picture that I got sent by... Dan Northcraft, who's our technical director on the show, his brother sent some pictures that we're going to put up on the website during the next break. This is a picture, Dan. Is this the one of the large light stand that just came crashing down? Oh, man. And that's Brooklyn, huh? And then there's another picture here of... This is... Oh, there's the light stand. Okay. Well, we'll put them up on the website here in a moment. You can take a look at those. So, yeah, but to the extent that people are safe and okay, I'm really, really, really grateful. And I hate to rub it. Well, I'm not going to rub it in.
Well, can I say something?
Yes.
I thought you did rub it in. What's with that picture of the beautiful sunset on the Saturday night?
Well, I didn't.
Yeah, I did kind of rub it in on air. Better call Mr. Hall.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. Hold on. What do you mean you better call Mr. Hall?
I think it's one that we got to call on. He told me to call anytime I get the creeps. So.
What does that mean, anytime you get the creeps?
Well, you know, if something happens, Phil, that he's uncomfortable with, and he gets what are called the creeps, or the willies, but I think creeps.
Yeah, the creeps are probably more...
I think the creeps in this case would be more descriptive.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Dickman, and what are you, Dr. Gray? And you're discussing the creeps, huh? And...
Well, Phil, if we wanted to really discuss the creeps, we'd talk about you and your friends.
Yeah!
Quit hitting the board. All right, go ahead, call Mr. Hall. You think I'd give a sweet you-know-what? I don't give a damn whether you call him up or not, man. Is that him on the phone?
Yeah, hold on. Mr. Hall? Alan said, huh? Yeah, okay. He's ready for you.
Oh, is he really?
Anyway, you're talking about that. And then Bud just called me, and I'm glad he did. I saw the picture.
What picture?
You were just talking about it.
There's a picture of the sunset.
On your homepage, on your website. We got people getting blown out of their homes. We got people getting rained on. We got people getting snowed on, hail, sleet, ice. And where, you know, nothing keeps the mailman away, or however that thing goes, right? Isn't that what that is?
What is?
The mail... What's the mailman, Margaret?
What's the mailman?
What's the thing they say?
What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
I was trying to think of the different weather. That's the only one that... The only thing I know that mentions all that weather is the mailman.
Is the mailman creed? Is that it?
There you go. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. The mailman creed. Neither the sleet nor the sweat. I don't know what it is.
That, I know what it is, Mr. Hall.
What?
The blood and the sweat and the tears.
What?
What are you talking, Winston Churchill? Man, we're talking about I don't know what it is. Who cares? Neither the sleet nor the rain nor the hail nor the this or that.
That's it, yeah. All that stuff happened last night. You think the mailman was kept away? No. But what does Henry do? He puts a picture of the sun setting over the blue Pacific Ocean as if to say, take a look at this. Ha, ha, ha. Then you rub it on your... Well, I shouldn't say.
No, yeah, you shouldn't say.
Well, I can well imagine. So I know you didn't do it, but that's what people are thinking when they see a picture like that.
All right, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back, okay?
Oh, yeah, now that I'm getting a good point in.
Hold on. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the madness.
Well, don't include me in that, all right? I'm...
Fine, Margaret. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The rain or the sleet or the sweat or the... What is the one to sweat off...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number. And good news, we're going to have a call screening computer in here, I believe, on Friday.
Yay!
Though we will keep you updated on that.
Well, what do you care? You don't like taking phone calls.
Yes, I do. I like taking phone calls occasionally. You know, I'm having to screen the calls myself. It's a difficult...
Well, don't get so specific, Phil. You need to just back off.
I'm backing off. All right, I won't say anything about it, okay? Everything's good. Everything's fine. All right. So if I direct your attention to the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com, and you will see pictures that were sent to Dan Northcraft, our engineer, from his brother John in Brooklyn. And I have articulated by way of numbering them just what it is you're looking at. In the very top photo is, quote, blown out glass. And, boy, look at that. Now you get a clear idea of what that is. This is all glass that got busted out from what looks like this top window here above this graffiti.
What's that graffiti say? Bet you those are like the Brooklyn gang? What does it say, Robert?
What do you think I am, man? A gang expert?
Well, I don't speak gang.
What makes you think he speaks gang?
I don't know.
Man, you know, you...
What?
Never mind.
Bud... So, yeah, that's graffiti, whatever. And you can see all of this. Look at this, panes of glass just blasted right out of that window there that someone then put some sort of a tarp in to keep the wind from just blowing in on whoever is working in there. Which reminds me, one night I was kept wide awake by this whipping sound of just, you know. And I look outside, and apparently somebody put a tarp over a piece of a roof that had caved in on a house. And they hadn't gone upstairs to fix it, and it was just driving me nuts. All right, here is a light pole that fell down in a park in Brooklyn. You can see a very heavy and very long light pole with that cluster of lights at the end that one knows from, like, ballparks, you know?
Yeah, like at a baseball stadium.
Man, look at that.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that'll do some damage, man. That falls on you because you don't know what's going on. What does it sound like when a light pole snaps and is about to fall on you? What does it sound like, you know, what?
What do you mean, what does it sound like?
I bet you it doesn't sound like anything you've ever heard before. You'll probably hear something like, you know.
I think I'd know.
Maybe it sounds like a monkey chimping or something.
Yeah, because a lot of times, something that doesn't sound like it.
What do you mean a monkey chimping?
Like, what do you mean, a monkey talking?
No, like, what do they do when they talk? They chimp.
No, they don't chimp. They talk. They make sounds. They squeak. Whatever the hell. What do you mean a monkey? Who knows, man? All right, so that's the light pole. Then the next one sounds like a monkey chimping. Here is a picture of what looks like, and according to Dan's brother, John, he said, that's the fence behind the chicken slaughterhouse.
Oh, God, that's very inhumane.
Oh, give it a rest, will
you? But how do you think? Don't you have no chicken dinner?
Don't I have no chicken dinner? You know what? I have, but thinking about eating a chicken dinner after you just said what you said, I'm going vegan. Thank you very much. Hey, now there, I'm applauding.
You tell me that I made you a vegan.
Yes. Looking at you talk about chicken, I'm vegan.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm very serious.
Okay, good luck.
Well, why is that such a big deal?
You're going to miss... Well, I better not say.
You're going to miss the meat.
Yeah! Give me five.
Get out of here, will you? All right, so there you have it. Those are the pictures from Dan's brother John there in Brooklyn. And it's, you know, it's been a heavy, heavy night, man. But we're thankful for everybody who is safe. We were so sad for the people that did not make it, man. I mean, it was ugly. As far as the government's response to this, as I said, in New York City, just the anecdotal information that I was able to glean from Twitter and places like that, people were very positive about it. But that was in New York, you know, where again, that was not where the real scary stuff was happening. Now, here, according to CNN, after a day after it launched a punishing strike on the east coast of the United States, Superstorm Sandy remained a threat all day Tuesday. The storm made landfall along the coast of southern New Jersey on Monday night, but its mammoth size affected a much wider area and continued to do so as it shuffled northward toward Canada, leaving at least 33 people dead. Tuesday evening, 6.9 million customers were without power in 15 states. President Barack Obama signed a disaster declaration for New York and New Jersey, also had signed emergency declarations for other states and the nation's capital. Nearly 11,000 people spent Monday night in scores of Red Cross-operated shelters in the hard-hit Mid-Atlantic region. And I saw people last night talking about, thank you, Red Cross. And these are, you know, not people that one would think might avail themselves of the Red Cross, which I suppose you would think in terms of... I don't know, maybe people that can't afford an accommodation. But then I got to thinking about it. Where the hell are you going to go, man? You know, if you're if the storm is hitting your ass, excuse my French, but if you're getting nailed by the storm, are you going to go to a hotel? What difference does it make, you know? What you need is food and coffee and maybe water and some maybe some blankets, anything that you just don't have. And I suppose you could get some of that from, but the hotels are closed up probably. And the hotels are without supplies. So, yeah, I saw a lot of people.
What, like movie stars or something?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. There were movie stars tweeting, thank you, Red Cross, for giving me a cup of hot coffee. I don't know, man. It was just I think Andy Levy from Red Eye said that he spent the night in a tent that we... I'm kidding around.
Well, it would serve him right.
No, I'm joking. Anyway. So we had that. And here is how Sandy affected the United States and Canada. In Connecticut, there were two people who lost their lives, according to state police spokesman Lieutenant J. Paul Vance. The victims, one of them a firefighter in Easton, were killed by falling trees. Some 500,000 customers were without power. In Delaware, power went out for 17,000 customers. The governor there scaled back driving restrictions on Tuesday morning, but they were in effect on Monday night. Officials in District of Columbia said 4,000 people were without power. Metro transportation bus and rail service was restored on a modified schedule. The system expected to return to normal for Wednesday. District of Columbia. In Maine, about 33,000 homes and businesses were without electricity, according to Central Maine Power. In Maryland, two people were killed. An emergency management official said a falling tree hit a house, killing a man. A car accident blamed on the storm accounted for the other death. Raw sewage was leaking from a plant in Howard County. Emergency management spokespeople said about 2 million gallons of sewage per hour were pouring out of the Little Patuxent Water Reclamation Plant as a result of a power outage. That's in Maryland. Utilities said 273,000 customers were without power. See, that's where the eye of the storm really came through in the state of Maryland. Massachusetts state employees returned to work on Tuesday. New Hampshire, their power suppliers reported 107,000 customers without. So,
what about California?
Are you trying to be a smartass?
No, it said state by state.
What do you mean, what about California? It didn't hit California.
Oh. No, well, you gotta be a real ass, man, to ask a question like that.
Are you an idiot or something? What do you mean California? All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know why you keep him employed. But...
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and online at philhendryshow.com. All right, I've been told that we are having a special edition of Iron Swine. Is that it?
Yeah, it's a special edition.
All right, here it is, a special edition of Iron. We usually don't have Iron Swine until the last hour of the show, but hit it.
Not time for Iron Swine. But, today, Iron Swine, we got a call up from Phil Hendry's house.
Hello, this is Iron Swine.
Yeah, you got to get over here, man, because guess what? Mr. Hendry, he lost all that weight. He's at 211 pounds, and he started at 289 pounds back in March.
You're kidding me. That's insane. I better get over there.
Right away. Make sure you get over here right away.
Who are you, the butler?
Shut up, man.
But what are you supposed to... I don't even know what you are.
I'm the producer, man, of a show. I'm Robert.
Oh, you're playing yourself.
Yeah, just shut up.
And then Iron Swine goes over to the Phil Hendry house. Hello, I'm Iron Swine. What happened?
You gotta come in here.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. We gotta take out the reinforced toilet, because he don't need that no more on account of he...
Get out of here. Turn that off. What is that about, huh?
Oh, Phil, they're having fun.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, come on, guys. Let's get the reinforced toilet out of here.
Yeah, and also we don't need the handrails.
Yeah. Iron Swine! Whee!
Brought to you by Slim Fast. All right, you can get your fat jokes out now, baby, because you can't do them anymore.
Well, Iron Swine has been brought to you by Slim Fast and by Zero Calorie Lipton Green Tea.
Yeah, oh, another thing you got to take out, Iron Swine, is that chair that goes up and down the stairs that he sits on. Now he can actually go up the...
Yeah, okay, I better take that out, too.
Okay, very funny. Thank you, Iron Swine.
What?
That was funny. I mean, you know, what it basically was a series of fat jokes.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're... We're celebrating, you know...
They're congratulating you, Phil.
Well, I understand. Thank you very much. Yes, I did, but I haven't shared it with the audience.
Well, tell them.
I have reached 211 pounds, you guys. And that's not my goal. I still have 1 pound to go. That was the funny thing about it. When I got on the scale yesterday, I go, this is a riot. I said, I'm at 211.
You going to have Halloween candy?
No. Not if I'm at 211. I mean, I got to do this thing right. And I think that the pound will be gone by the time Halloween, tomorrow, you know. And, of course, I'm going to have some Halloween candy. And
But if you go back up, though?
Go back up to what?
Well, Bud, he's not going to gain it all the way back to 289.
But if you eat enough candy, if you pig out.
Yeah, if you pig out, you could, you know.
No, you're not going to get 211 from 289. Are you nuts or something? That's 78 pounds that I lost. 78 pounds from March 19th till today. And you think me eating a bunch of Snickers bars is going to put the weight back on, huh?
The way you eat them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very funny. But,
What are you going to eat?
Yeah, what's your favorite candy?
You guys are making me hungry, man. I don't even know if I'm going to... I got to get that pound off. I'm telling you, if the pound isn't off, if the pound is still sitting there, I'm not having Halloween candy.
Oh, Phil, what? You're getting obsessed, and you know what's going to happen. You're going to become anorexic.
Yeah, remember that lady? She said he got anorexic and he's lost the weight?
I'm not going to become anorexic, believe me when I tell you. Although I will say this, and just to be serious for a moment. Yes, I hit 211 yesterday. Thank you, Bud, for the tribute on Iron Swine, but... It is true that, and I was just talking to Dan about this during the break, I said, now I am conscious of what I eat. And I don't, the last thing that's going to happen to Phil Hendry is I am never, ever again, as long as I live on this planet, going back to that weight. I'm not going back to 220. If anything, I'm going to go down. I mean, and, but here's what I mean by that. You know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was 195 pounds. I was 195 pounds, and I was in good shape. And I really can, you know, that's probably the best weight for me. 210 is probably still too much.
Well, that's not what the doctor said to you. The 210 was low.
Dr. Emery thought that 220, and I talked him into 210, and he said, yeah, okay, 210.
What about when he prescribed the Viagra? Don't that hurt your heart?
You shut up about that, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, we'd be quiet and get Viagra.
Well, I mean, that bad for the blood pressure, though.
Just, you guys, just, anyway. So, yeah,
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, you did. You're opening it. So yeah, it was really great, and thank you very much for noticing that, Bud Dickman. So anyway, yeah, I have to maintain the weight. And the thing you want to do is you want to say, I got to eat smart. So if I do have the candy and all of that stuff and the things that we enjoy, especially we're coming up on that time of the season, okay? We have Halloween, we have Thanksgiving. Good God, oh, Thanksgiving is like, you know, it's a blowout for food. And Christmas is just, Christmas starts on December 1st, something. It starts, and you're just eating for 4 weeks, you know, you're having this and that and something else. New Year's Eve, I mean, that's like the booze equivalent of Thanksgiving, only it's booze instead of food. And then finally, we have January, but hold on, because in January, guess what's going on? It's the football playoffs. It's the NFL playoffs. Every single Sunday, you're sitting there shoveling it down, you know. And you're anybody? I don't drink light beer. I don't know anybody that does. If you want to, that's fine. I'm not making any judgments, but I wouldn't go light. I wouldn't go near light beer, man, with your mouth, Margaret.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, it's just it's a matter. It's a figure of speech.
Wouldn't go near light beer with my mouth.
You drink it all the time, don't you?
No, I do not. I drink champagne. I drink champagne. I don't drink light beer. What gave you the idea I drink light beer?
Why did I see all that light beer? Oh, who's drinking the light beer?
That's your boss, David Hall.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I don't drink that swill. I drink a good, I gotta drink beer that's beer. But really, my favorite drink is tequila. And as I've often said to you, tequila is much more economic when it comes to calories. If you drink one shot of tequila, it's 90 calories, 95 calories, Don Julio. That's how we're talking about. Any one of the Don Julio tequilas, 1 ounce, okay, one shot. If you drink two, you're up around 180 calories. To contrast that with beer, now that's two shots of good quality tequila, and that's going to make the day just kind of, woo, put a nice little spin on the day. By a comparison, one beer, a Heineken, a good beer, is 150 calories, and you're getting a beer. I don't know about you, but I'd rather drink more than one beer, so especially when it's football watching time. So, you know, you're making, these are the choices that you make, and I'm going to want to make some choices, and they are not going to be involving eating like a, just like a hog. Those days are over with.
Now, when are you getting your hair cut and your beard? You look like a homeless man, you know?
I know, I don't look good. The beard's too long, the hair's too long. I think it must have been like I can only concentrate on one thing.
But you don't think about losing weight? You can't get your hair cut?
No, I think that's something wrong with me, you know.
What, man? All you can do is go to a barber, even when you're on a diet.
I know, but I just didn't give a damn. I was thinking, when I lose the weight, then I'll get my hair cut.
That's nuts. Yeah, I had your hair cut a long, long way before now.
Well, I'll get it cut before. I'm going to Washington, D.C. on Friday because a friend of mine is having major surgery, and I will make sure that I have it cut before then.
And what about the beard?
The beard will get trimmed back, too. There's a lot of people that like this beard, and I look horrific without a beard now. I used to be fairly handsome, but now, for some reason, if I shave the beard off, there's like I've got three chins or something. It's just...
Not anymore.
Well, no, you're right. Not anymore. Okay, so glad you're safe, guys. Welcome back to the program. We got Frank Gray coming up later in the show. We also have Brad Rifkin to talk business with us tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There are all kinds of deals. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's all kinds of deals, not just with houses and not just with the things that you would think the prices come down, but like vacations. and high-end hotels and things like that. And we're going to talk with Brad about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show a little bit later on. But they're sending out via email, and I don't know if you saw these, but they're sending out via email all kinds of offers to stay in some pretty nice places for extended stays for like one half of what it would have cost you. So all of a sudden, you know, the world is opening up a little bit because of this bad economy. The other thing that's happening is that home sales are picking back up. And I just talked to a friend of mine who very nonchalantly threw off this information. She said, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to sell the house and going to get a. I said, oh, really? You're just going to go right ahead and sell the house? Oh, yeah. I said, where are you living? And she lives in San Diego. Are you just going to sell a house? How are you going to, how does that work, you know?
Well, you put out a sign.
I'm not talking about putting a sign up. I mean, your house isn't getting the value that it's getting. If you sell your house now, you have to be prepared to take it in the shorts.
Well, I mean, maybe some people like that.
Like what? Losing money?
Taking it in the shorts.
He's talking about losing money, you idiot. I don't know who would.
Well, if unless they really need to get off, you know, need to sell the house and they need to make whatever money they can make, but it's not. Nonetheless, houses are selling, so maybe there's something going on there. They're selling because the interest rates are good. So we'll talk with Brad about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-7445. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. We have a brand-new podcast out today, episode 62, featuring Eric Hester, who's a television producer. On the podcast, he talks about a new reality show called Surprise. So that's on episode 62 of the Phil Henry Podcast, available today through iTunes and through the podcast banner at philhenryshow.com. So check it out. We'll be right back with Brad Rifkin on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. What?
I'm saying a wind might have picked it up and carried it off.
What did? You're talking about a baby that was born. Some baby was born in a hospital, and they had to evacuate the hospital.
Well, that's what I'm assuming.
Why do you assume the wind picked the baby up and carried it off?
Why would it be in the news?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not a big deal.
Yes, it's a big deal, because the baby was born, and they evacuated the child. People wanted to know if the child was safe.
Bud... What an assumption to make. Oh, the baby must be famous because it got picked up and carried away by the wind. How about if it was famous because it was safe?
Get a lot of people was safe.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Brad Rifkin joins us in this segment here. We might hold Brad over. We're going to talk with him a little bit about economy and about what's going on in terms of just, you know, business. Yeah, and I know that I mentioned that... I mentioned earlier that the home sales are doing better. I mentioned that, you know, it's different aspects of business. Brad, you were talking with us about that, but also some restaurant that a friend of yours has opened in Las Vegas, which is where you're located, right?
That is correct, Phil. We're located here in the northern part of the Strip where offices are, and we have an advertising agency here.
Okay, and this restaurant called... Chow's, right?
Yeah, and it's based upon, I think, it is the first restaurant of the post 2008 financial meltdown. And because it is a restaurant that is based upon economics, it's based upon American culinary taste, it's based upon our desire to waste less, to consume more economically, to not waste, you know, especially when it comes to food. And I think that food, especially when you're talking about an economic problem like now, you know, people, there's some, not like it was in way back in historical times where you had people starving to death in America. Today, thank God, we've got resources for people who may not have the income enough, you know. But I got to thinking about when I was working at a food bank 5 years ago, and it was, you know...
Well, you know, you have an advertising agency, and you were working at a food bank?
Yeah,
Well, that's not... Hey, Brad, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter? Was your ad agency not...
My ad agency was fine. We had some tough times, so I took a job. Can I finish?
Go ahead. That was...
All right, so I had to take a job at a food... I was volunteering at the food bank, but I also got a salary as one of the administrators. But nonetheless, while I was at the food bank... Now, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Well, that does not... If you had a successful ad business, why are you working at a food bank?
Right, okay. How many times do you want me to answer this question, Phil?
All right, just move on. Don't worry about it, guys. Go ahead, Brad.
Anyway, I'm at a food bank, okay, and I'm working there, and I see homeless and people that don't have a house to live in, and they have nowhere to go, and they're coming to the food bank, and they're taking food that is left over. Now, this food is good food. It's food that the homeless people get, but you and I don't see it because, well, we did see it, but we didn't buy it for whatever reason. So I'm thinking to myself, if you start a restaurant based upon what's the one thing that everybody loves? Everybody loves... In the refrigerator. What's the one thing but everybody loves in the refrigerator?
Ice cream.
Not ice cream. No, something in the refrigerator. Not in the freezer, in the refrigerator.
You'll say frozen cherries?
Not in the freezer.
Said not in the freezer.
What is the one thing people like in the regular refrigerator part? Everybody absolutely loves it.
Sherbert.
Are you an idiot or something? He said not in the freezer.
Not in the freezer, man. What are you doing?
Sherbert's not in a freezer.
Yes, it is in the freezer.
Sherbert is water-based. It's like ice cream with water.
Oh.
All right.
Can you turn your TV down?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, turn the TV down. Thank you. Okay, it's leftovers. Leftovers. That's what people love. Oh, look at this. I got some leftover spaghetti. I got leftover pizza. I got leftover, you know.
Well, I'm not really crazy about leftovers, but I know Frank does, and Jason J. Delmonico.
What is that?
That's the name of my son.
You named him after a steak?
I named him after the Delmonico restaurant in New York.
Okay. So, Phil, it's the... I got hungry as soon as I heard his son's name. Is that...
Well, don't make fun of my son's name, please.
I'm not making fun of his name, but I got hungry when I heard Delmonico.
Okay, so in other words, leftovers. What about it?
Well, what about it is that you can have a restaurant based on leftovers. You could serve leftovers. Now, yes, you have food that you would serve, and then you have the leftovers. So you have a regular menu, and then you have leftovers. So if someone comes into the restaurant and they say, well, you know, I don't really have that much money or I don't want to spend a lot of money, I think I'll go to the leftover side of the menu, and you say, well, I'll have the spaghetti. Or actually, there's an option that I have there with whatever the house special is. And that could be something as simple as the waiter saying, okay, what would you like? And you say, well, I'll have the house special, and the waiter looks around and sees what's been left. You know, like, well, there's some spaghetti a guy left here. Do you want that? Yeah. All right, we'll take it in the back, and we'll...
Take it in the back? You mean take it where, in the kitchen?
Well, yeah, Phil, and no, out in the... We're going to take it into a closet where they hang shirts. No, yeah, into a kitchen.
Well, that sounds absolutely vile.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am, for putting a torpedo right into my idea before it even gets out of the port. You know,
well, you're talking about looking at... the waiter looks around?
Yeah, what don't you get?
If I heard what you said correctly, you said the waiter... looks around and says, well, tonight's house special. Oh, look, there's some spaghetti left on a plate. There, do you want that?
Yeah, that's the leftover. What are people, I don't understand. Haven't you ever eaten off of your husband's plate?
Yes, my husband. He's my husband.
All right, so what? So he's your husband. Why can't you eat off, if you're eating off his plate, you're eating off his plate.
He's my husband. I feel comfortable doing that. I wouldn't feel comfortable eating off of something. I just wouldn't feel comfortable.
Well, I got to go with Margaret on this one, you know?
Yeah.
What do you mean you got to go with Margaret on this? This is an idea. Well, let me ask you, because I'm a little unclear. Your husband, what makes him so special?
He's my husband. That's what makes him special.
But what's that got to do with food? You know?
Well, he's my husband. That's what makes him special. If he's eating a spaghetti...
You just said this. You went, he's my husband. I didn't understand.
He's my husband. That's what makes him special. If he's eating spaghetti, And he doesn't finish it, and he says, Margaret, would you like to finish this? I'll say, yes, darling, I'll finish the spaghetti. If it's a stranger who says, I don't want to finish this, do you want to finish it?
Yeah, what's the difference?
I don't know, it's just different.
It'd be different for me, too. I wouldn't want to eat off of some stranger's plate.
But you'd eat off of somebody you knew.
I'd eat off of someone's plate that I knew.
Would you eat off of that person?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, that I understand. If you got a girlfriend and the two of you are, you know, do you really love each, you know, you're very involved with this girlfriend, and you say to her, I'd like to eat some dessert off of you, I can understand that. You know, even though it's very likely you're going to want to eat that dessert from a part of, you know, I want to get into it. You know?
Oh, yeah, now I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, now you're talking about eating a dessert right out of...
Hey, hold on, will you? Let's take a break, okay?
Well, I was getting to the good part.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. As Brad Rifkin talks about a new restaurant idea where you eat leftovers. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I wouldn't let Frank eat anything.
Better you get Frank on here.
Why are you stuttering?
That's stuttering.
You think we got to get Frank on?
That's what it sounded like to me, Phil.
Okay, I stuttered. So what? Talk much?
Phil Henry.
Hold on. Welcome back, folks, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us is Brad Rifkin from Las Vegas as we talk about the new economy, the new economics, and we're discussing the restaurant business. And while we you guys were away and we were away from you, I was talking with Margaret and Brad here about Nobu, right?
Yeah, Nobu is the guy. Nobu has the sushi place over here. But, you know, I knew this guy, and I know the guy down near you, Phil. He's got a sushi bar there in the Ventura area and north of L.A. And, hey, look, let me tell you, this guy I know, he says to me he knew Nobu when the guy was looking around. He was trying to scrounge up a green card off the street. And,
well, let's not talk bad about the guy.
No, but he is. Everybody thinks he's this and that, you know, and a bag of pork rinds. Hey, honey, can you turn that down, please?
It's getting kind of loud, yeah.
Right down. So anyway, this guy, Nobu. So what has that got to do with anything?
Well, I was talking about Nobu because we were talking about the this restaurant, Opaque, that Dan was bringing up. Now, Opaque, as I understand, is completely dark.
Yeah, well, look, that's a gimmick. That's a gimmick.
Well, isn't what you're talking about a gimmick?
How's it a gimmick? I'm talking about leftovers. Is that a gimmick? Boy, ask the average American.
What I'm asking is this.
No, but let me ask you, Mr. A, don't you have leftovers?
I have leftovers that I share with my own family. I don't know that I would eat someone else's leftovers.
I would come to your house right now and eat... Well, I better not say.
You better not say what?
What don't you want to say?
Well, I think it sounds a little suggestive. I was going to say I'd come over to her house right now and eat her leftovers, but...
Well, I beg your pardon.
I'm trying to be a gentleman, okay?
Well, it would be more gentlemanly of you to just say it instead of drawing attention to it.
Yes, if you hadn't drawn attention to it...
I'm trying to be a gentleman. So I didn't want to say I'd go over to your house and eat your leftovers.
Well, the point being you would go to Margaret's house and eat her leftovers.
Not with her husband around.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Henry.
You know something?
Phil, I have to go to the toilet.
What is it with you and the...
I'm not sitting here.
Man, John's got to go to the toilet. And...
Keep your mouth shut.
Hey, Mr. Henry, if I overstep my bounds here...
Well, you know something, pal. First you didn't want to be you didn't want to not be a gentleman. Then you were not a gentleman. When you're all right, I'm not going to go over there and eat your leftovers with your husband around.
I'm talking about the guy. She said she wouldn't eat leftovers from me. And so, see, what's the problem I'm having now is this sounds very suggestive. And
not if you're bringing attention to it. Now, when we were talking, you're talking about something completely opaque. Is a restaurant, I think, in Los Angeles that is completely dark. You can't see. The waiters are, they can't see. So the whole thing is dark, and you're trying to figure out what you're eating.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm saying to people, these are leftovers. You're eating the leftovers, and isn't that great? Because they're leftovers, all right? And what we were thinking of, and that's why I wanted to be careful as to how I said that, but you know, you got to turn the TV down, or I'm going to throw that TV right out the front door. Do you understand?
Who is in there?
My kids. Turn it down, or I'm going to pick the TV up. If you want to grab a hold of the TV, all right, if you're holding onto the TV when Daddy picks it up, I'm going to throw the TV and you over the lawn into the street. You think that'll be fun, huh? My kid thinks that it'd be fun.
All right.
So what I'm saying is this. We have a restaurant. It's for leftovers, all right? Now, you can do anything you want with the leftovers. That's what I was saying. And we have the curtained-off booths. So you go ahead and make fun of leftovers, Mr. Henry, but what if you had a leftover that you could eat, you know?
Jogging back. Howdy.
Shut up, bud. I'll handle this, okay?
Yeah.
You could eat what?
Your girlfriend with you, and you ordered, for instance, a leftover, and there's a curtain booth that nobody's going to go into, what do you think you're going to do?
I don't know. Eat dinner?
Oh, yeah. You'll eat dinner, all right.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Okay. I'm going to kick you out of here, too. So what are we talking about? Some kind of a sex play in the booth?
Well, I'm saying that leftovers, Ms. Gray was saying she wouldn't eat somebody else's leftovers. Maybe she wouldn't, but maybe, you know, her husband would. And what I mean by that...
You know, get Frank on the phone here. Get Frank Gray on the phone.
But I mean, get Frank Gray. Kick me out of studio.
Now I'm telling you to get Frank Gray on the phone, and then I'll kick you out. How does that feel?
All right.
Hey, Phil, I don't want to start no fight or anything.
No, you're not starting anything. Get him on the phone. We're talking with Brad Rifkin here on the Phil Henry Show as we discuss the new economy and new kinds of restaurants. We've been talking about Nobu. That's a great restaurant, but that's not a new economy restaurant. That's just a place where the Hollywood celebrities used to hang out. I don't know if they do anymore.
Well, yeah, because they're always changing, you know, where they go. And but Nobu used to have all these Hollywood stars in there, and I went in a couple times and looked at them, and I said, okay, I'm done with that. What's next, you know? And then we got this idea, this guy with this opaque. My idea is leftovers. I say to a guy, do you want to eat that spaghetti? No, really? Would you wait? And then you say, okay, you don't want that guy's spaghetti? No. And Ms. Gray would say, no. I'd say, okay, but what if I could give you that spaghetti and that closed-off booth? And you're, you know.
And you're what?
And he's with his girlfriend.
All right, let me get Frank Gray is with us on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Brad Rifkin about the restaurant idea that he has for Las Vegas. A friend of his has actually started the beginning stages of opening this restaurant that features leftovers. And not just leftovers from what they cooked this morning and they're serving it this afternoon. Leftovers off to somebody else's plate. Frank, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah. Frank Gray. The Gray, this is Brad Rifkin. How are you, sir?
Better than Custer.
What's your name? Brad Rifkin.
All right.
What's your business? I'm in the advertising business, sir.
Right. Real good.
Okay, Frank, let me ask you a question. You know, you're a fan of restaurants, and I know that you eat at Ted's, as does Harvey. What do you think about the idea of a restaurant featuring leftovers that you could have served to you in a curtained booth?
Yeah, but you got to tell them.
No, hold on. Just what I said, Frank.
Well, you're talking about getting someone else's food that you are having it served in a booth, in a curtained-off booth?
Yeah.
Well, there's only one reason for that, and that would be to enjoy the intimacy of the one that you love. So if I'm sitting there with Margaret, for instance, and we get order a leftover, what kind of leftover am I going to get? You can have any kind of leftover. It's off of a guy's plate, like it's some, let's say it's lasagna he didn't finish. Oh, that sounds interesting. You could take that lasagna, and I'd tell Margaret, let's get to it, and you're eating that lasagna out of his...
All right, let's not...
No, I wasn't going to say anything, but I was just going to say, if you're in the booth with your wife, and he is... I'm assuming they're giving you a curtained-off booth so you can be with your wife, and he's
you know, ready to rock and roll, and you've got this lasagna.
Right. So, you know, what's the next natural thing to think of?
Are you two guys putting me on?
I'm not. You just called me.
No, you're right. I did. So are you putting me on, Brad?
No.
I can't. The last thing I'm thinking about, even if I'm in a curtained-off booth with a woman that I am in love with or really hot for or whatever you want to say, is, okay, let's have sex?
No. You're not having sex, young man. That's the thing that you're missing. If you're with a woman you love and you are sexually attracted to him, and you disrobe him, you're allowed to disrobe him, and you love this woman, so you take his clothes off.
Yeah?
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Margaret.
Brad, I'll explain it to you later, but my husband has gender confusion.
Sit me here. I don't know what anybody's talking about. Did you say something?
No. Go ahead, Frank.
All right, so you're in love, and you tell him, okay, let's go. Get him off.
Your wife.
Yeah. Who do you think I'm talking about? Your boyfriend? God, what a... Think I'm gay?
No, not at all.
Well, you sound gay. And...
Hold on, Brad. I'll just...
What did I say?
Nothing. He?
My wife.
Margaret, she said nothing.
Anyway, so that's what I would say to him. I'd say, Margaret, get it off. Let's go. I mean, there's no time like the present.
I find that to be... So you're right in step with this.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great idea, and I commend Mr. Rifkin. I congratulate her on her new business. You know, except that I've never been more insulted in my life to be called a her.
All right, let's just put everybody on hold. We got to take a break here.
I think that, you know, people need to understand my husband, Frank. He's a wonderful man.
I know he is, and he's got the gender confusion, but Mr. Rifkin, you know... 877.
Right.
Well, you said I congratulate her on her new business. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I do wrong. I'm congratulating Mr. Rifkin on her new business. That's what I'm talking about. What is...
World-famous Phil
Hendry
Show.
All right, hold on. Yes, I know it looks cool. Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of program notes. First of all, tomorrow night is Halloween, and if you are watching Phil TV in HD, we'll have some spooky effects here on the TV side of things, so get ready for that.
We've had a lot of questions. Are you going to be wearing your hood, your hooded cape?
Yes, I'll be wearing the hooded cape.
Yeah, and the other question is, does that mean, well...
What?
Does it mean you will be going over to being gay?
Oh, man, they didn't ask. Get out of here, bud, or I'll kick your ass.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Just because a man wears a hooded cape, well...
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know. It's got nothing to do with gay. I'll be wearing... It has to do with Halloween, okay?
Yeah, but why is that... Why is that Halloween?
A hooded cape? Are you kidding? You look like the freaking executioner or something, man.
Yeah, you thought what Dracula wore?
Who?
Dracula.
Who's Dracula? You talking about Dracula?
Yeah.
I don't think Dracula wore a hood, man.
Yeah, well, he had airplane collar. Well, he had a Peter Pan collar. That was the thing about Dracula that made him... I don't think he was that scary.
Why?
Because he had a Peter Pan.
All right, let's forget about Dracula and his Peter Pan collars, okay? Let's get back here with... Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas.
By the way, can I jump in here, Phil, because I heard...
Go ahead.
Yes, Dracula did wear a Peter Pan collar, and the reason why I'm making an issue out of that is because believe it or not, we had a hostess, maitre d' hostess combo for the restaurant. And
this is the leftover restaurant.
Yes. And we were looking at different uniforms for the servers. We were looking at different uniforms for the hostess as opposed to the maitre d'. Do they wear suits? Do they wear the duck outfit. What do you call it?
Penguin suit?
Yeah, penguin suit.
The penguin suit.
Well, sorry, I belched.
God!
Margaret, why do you belch on Mike?
Oh, big deal. I had some Lipton green tea. Excuse me, I didn't mean to spit. Did I spit on you?
Yes, all over my shirt.
Sorry. I'm cleaning out. You always ask me these questions when we're on the air.
I just asked you, why did you belch?
I'm cleaning out my colon.
Yeah, so?
Who's talking to you? I'm cleaning my colon out, all right? So I'm flushing it with green tea.
I can hear what she's whispering. I can hear.
Well, Margaret doesn't get the fact that you can whisper on a radio. That's great, Margaret. Thank you very much.
I'm not ashamed of my health regimen, all right?
Then why were you whispering?
All right, I'll say it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cleaning out my colon with green tea. And that's why I'm taking frequent trips to the bathroom. And when I laugh, I streak.
Oh. Man, I
I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know either.
I don't think I want to know either.
You don't want to know what?
What it means to streak. I don't want to know.
What it means...
Margaret, never mind. All right, so Margaret's cleaning out her colon, and by the way, let's talk food. So at the...
It's not going to bother me.
No, I didn't. So at this leftover-only restaurant, the people come in.
Yeah, so they were coming in, and we had an outfit for the maid-a-day that had a Peter Pan look. It was not Peter Pan, and it wasn't Dracula. It just happened to have the high collar that came up. All right, and it was a green... I'm trying to think now. It's a green suit with tails.
A green suit.
Well, Mr. Henry, can I get this out before you start commenting?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of a green suit with a high Peter Pan collar. Was it a Peter Pan outfit?
No, it was not. That's why I'm trying to say what I'm... This was the maitre d' outfit. This is what we had for the restaurant. It was a green waistcoat with tails, slacks that were pegged at the bottom. Green boots, I think. I'd have to ask my wife. Green boots and a green waistcoat and a high Peter Pan collar and then a white or a satin string tie. And this is what you would be greeted by. Okay, so you're not saying nothing. Are you laughing?
I'm barely able to contain my laughter, yeah.
I'm not saying that.
All right, and I heard that guy. Okay, so what's so funny about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why in a restaurant that...
No. What's so funny about that?
I'm going to tell you, Brad. I don't know why in a restaurant that features leftovers that you spend so much time on such an ornate suit...
Well, it's not so much ornate as it is inexplicable. Why is it a green...
Wait. It's a classy outfit. What are you trying to say?
Classy? What? First of all, a guy's wearing a green waistcoat with a...
You know, Phil, I've been on all kinds of radio shows. I've been on the best. I was just on the Bill Bibbit show, okay?
Who's he?
Oh, yeah, right. Who's he? Bill Bibbit. Bibbit.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know who Bill Bibbit is.
You've never heard of Bill Bibbit. B-I... His name is B-E-N-N-E-T.
Bennett!
What did I say?
Bibbit!
All right, but he's a big name, right?
Bill Bennett is, yeah. Does he have a great radio show? No.
Oh, well, easy for you to say.
Okay, so you went on the Bill Bennett show, who I understand is a conservative commentator of some kind. Did you talk to him about the Peter Pan collars and the,
I wouldn't bore the man with my life. I was listening to him talk about Romney and how everything's going to be way better for business when Romney gets in. You watch.
But with the Phil Henry show, you come on and tell us about the Peter Pan collar.
I came on to tell you about my restaurant. It was going to be about leftovers and how you could share leftovers with the one that you loved in a curtained-off booth by eating the custard or whatever, lasagna, out of the...
Out of the what?
Out of the crack of... And I won't go any further.
All right, thank you very much, Brad.
Oh, come on, man.
All right, so that was great.
But you keep the guy going, man. Best dough in the world.
Oh, God, what? Hey, little girl, are you sure you're in the right place?
What?
Yeah, no kidding, little girl.
What?
Oh, that was the best stuff.
You were really, yeah, you got a little emotional there, bud.
Well, I thought that guy was funny.
He didn't come on here to be funny. Don't you understand? He didn't like being made fun of. So, if he wasn't talking about the Peter Pan collar on... I'm telling you, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life, man. He's got a maitre d' in a green waistcoat with tails, a Peter Pan collar, pegged pants, and green boots. What are you looking at?
Well, I didn't think it was all that funny. I think with some alteration.
Oh, really? It would be really fantastic, huh?
Phil, look at the way you're dressed. You got on some faux Hawaiian shirt with your jeans. What do you know of men's styles?
You know what? I don't know a lot. I know what looks good, and I can walk into a men's store, a good men's store, and I know what to buy, I know what to pick out, and I know what to wear. So don't give me that, okay? And I also know what a green Peter Pan collar looks like on a guy with a white string satin tie.
I thought that it sounded like it had potential.
I'm going to tell you something, Margaret. I'll tell you this. I dare you to get Frank into that outfit.
Yeah, there you go.
I dare you to get... What happened to Frank, by the way?
He's on hold.
Where the hell... What do you mean he's on hold? Why don't we have... Bud, get the poor man. Frank, have you been hanging on all this time?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
I'm fine, buddy. Have you been on hold all this time?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
It's no use.
Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
What happened?
It's no use. He gets into that phase where the gender confusion and the late hour, and he just repeats the same thing because it's easy. He doesn't want to have to deal with the world after a certain hour. What time is it?
It's 11, almost 11:30.
After 11 o'clock, he doesn't want to...
He doesn't want to deal with anything.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked to him before after 11 o'clock.
About things that are light, airy, puffy, marshmallowy, that have a lot of egg white in them, but not about the heavy, heavy issues of the day.
Yeah, like wearing a Peter Pan collar.
You know what? I am cleansing my colon.
Yeah, go ahead, Margaret, to the toilet. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
I'm better than Custer.
Phil Henry.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We're very glad to meet your acquaintance here this evening. Glad you're with us. We last night talked a lot about the weather. Tonight, and it was pretty intense. I wouldn't say intense, but we were talking about the weather and the possible the ramifications as the evening progressed of what may be happening, what people could expect, etc. And I just kind of noticed tonight we haven't talked about anything, you know.
Yes, we've talked about the economy. We've talked about restaurants.
Well, I mean, we got hung up on some Peter Pan collar.
Well, don't get all...
Well, I mean, it just seems to me tonight we've been talking about a lot of garbage, man. You know, we're talking about restaurants, Peter Pan collars, etc., you know. So I wanted to... get on the line here, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, to discuss a little bit about this home sale thing we were talking about. I wanted to get into it with Brad, and we were unable to do that. And the Dooleys are going to be with us here in just a second. You getting them, Bud?
Yeah, Mr. Dooley. Yeah.
Have you got them?
Yeah, well...
Are they on the phone or not?
Are they on the phone?
No.
Well, what do you hear?
Well, right now, dial tone.
Well, call him up, man.
Gotta call him, man. You got the number?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't you calling him?
Okay. You want me to call him?
Are you kidding me, man?
You didn't say. I'm just sitting here with a dial tone.
I assume, Bud, when you have the phone next to your ear, that you are, you know...
Yeah.
You're calling him?
Not yet.
Call them now. You gonna call them now?
When you say to call, I will.
He just told you to, you moron.
Okay, so I'm calling.
Gets fantastic. He's calling now. That's great. This is Bud, man. This is a guy that, you know, I will say this for Bud. He doesn't do anything unless he's absolutely sure he should. So that's why we always have this marvelous this wonderful period of I just don't know, you know, when to call or not. All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us on the line here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're going to be talking, as I mentioned, about home sales and about the frequency of sales there at Western Estates. And I'm very, very curious, Bobby, as we talk about these things, whether or not you're seeing what do they call it, turnover?
Well, I don't know if you would call it turnover, if you call previously owned homes. We've had a couple of new families moving in here over the summer, but it was pretty slow, Phil, until the last month. And we have seen a pickup in the number of sales.
Bobby, this is Margaret. Are they the high-end homes? Are they the townhouses?
Actually, it's a good question. They're mostly the townhouses. I wanted to also, should I, Steve?
You go ahead and ask about it. Mr. Renner, I want to ask a question.
Okay.
We heard during the break you were talking about people who had prosthetic eyes, and I wanted to mention to Margaret that I had heard you singing that ode that you had been singing. You know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, my God. You heard You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Yes, it was your wonderful ode to a friend of yours who had lost an eye, I think.
It was a sporting event. It was a freak accident, Phil. It was a pole vaulting event. I don't know if you know Vlad Turner. He was an Olympian.
I think I've heard the name, yeah.
He lost his right eye in a pole vaulting event. And as a tribute to him, when we played the benefit at UCLA, I sang Bachman Turner Overdrive's You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
But you did an ode to that I thought was wonderful. It was a...
You did an ode to the man...
What are you smiling at? What are you smiling at?
I'm sorry.
I feel really... If I did an ode to a friend of mine who lost an eye...
I apologize.
And you're giggling like a child.
I apologize.
Well, could we hear Margaret sing that again? Because it's a wonderful song.
Well, I actually have you on to talk about the economy...
I think it's the least you can do.
All right. Okay, fine. We'll have Ms. Gray sing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
What are you laughing about?
I don't know, but I'm about to get up and hit you with this fan.
I apologize. Margaret's going to sing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. And this is her ode to her friend.
My friend who... hold on for a minute. Hold on. My friend who lost his eye... And by the way, this is Frank's band, the band that Frank has with his friends in Beverly Hills. Is Bobby there? Is Bobby?
Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, hi.
Bobby, this is Frank's band. I don't even want to talk to Phil. This is Frank's band.
This is called... The band is three studs and a bar stool, right?
Three studs and a bar stool. And this is them doing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Right.
All right, could we put Ms. Dooley on hold? Thank you very much. Here is Margaret Gray with her husband Frank's backing band.
I met a devil woman, and she took my heart away. She said I had it coming to me, I wanted it that way. I said that any love is good loving, so I got what I could get, yes, ooh. She looked at me with those big brown eyes. See? What?
She looked at me with that big brown eye, huh?
Oh, here he goes. You're going to start getting all heavy on me and serious, huh?
Well, I don't contend... You call that an ode to a... Will you turn that off, bud?
I wanted to sing the rest.
Well, you're not singing the rest.
Mr. Hendry, I came on this program as your guest.
I understand that, Ms. Dooley, and I know that you wanted to hear her sing the ode to the one-eyed guy that she knew.
This man was an Olympian, Vlad Palmer.
A minute ago, it was Vlad Carson or something.
I forgot.
He was an Olympian pole vaulter. He lost his eye in a pole vaulting event.
Yes.
And she wrote this song.
She didn't write a song. She dropped an S off a word. She looked at me with her big brown eye.
That's exactly right.
It was an ode to this poor man who was injured, Phil, and you were the ones that were talking about prosthetic eyes.
I had been watching I was watching something during the break where a poor woman had lost vision in one of her eyes as the result of that bombing, of that Kenyan bombing of the embassy, and I was asking, Dan, what's the matter?
Wait, he's going to start giving us his life story. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Talk about rude.
No, go ahead. You're going to give us your life story. Go ahead.
I'm going to explain and answer the lady's question.
Oh, look, there's Shannon Doherty.
I still think she's pretty hot.
Okay, forget it. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley.
Well, why are you punishing me?
Thank you very much. All right, let's move on.
Well, why did you hang up on her?
Because you guys are you're looking at Shannon Doherty. Nobody wants to listen to what I've got to say about what happened during the break that caused me to be talking about people's vision and their eyes in the first place. And then comes Ms. Dooley, and she wants to hear you singing, "He looked at me with his one good eye," or whatever the thing is called.
It's "He looked at me with his big brown eye."
And this is an ode that you, quote, wrote.
Good night.
No. I told you, if you get up and you walk out of here, you're fired.
Good evening.
Yeah, see, she's sitting back down again.
Well, why do I have to sit here and take this?
Oh, you're going to start blubbering? Margaret, you got to act like a woman, okay? Don't say anything. A grown-up woman. Now, that's an asinine. Your friend with one eye, he... you just have to accept it's funny.
Well, it is kind of funny when you think about it.
Well, I don't see anything funny about a man losing his eye.
I don't see anything funny about that either. What I do see something funny about is a woman singing an ode to him by simply singing, "You ain't seen nothing yet."
Man, Phil, I've never seen you laugh this much in all the time.
Well, I'm laughing tonight, man. I got to tell you, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
A man lost his eye, Phil.
Margaret, you can't hide behind the fact that your friend lost his eye. I'm sorry that he did, but you're the one that took it to the most asinine extreme ever by singing, "You ain't seen nothing yet, he looked at me with his one big brown eye."
I didn't sing that. I said he looked at me with his big brown eye. Can I just do, I'll do it a cappella, and you'll feel it. I know you'll understand.
Go ahead.
"I met a devil woman, do, 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 do." You know the part, it goes, "And he looked at me with his one good eye and said, 'You ain't seen nothing yet.'" Now, that was the original lyric. I changed it before I did the performance at UCLA. I changed it back to, "He looked at me with his one..." No, what was it? God, I wish Frank was here.
Well, I'm not putting either... Frank's not getting back on the air.
What did he do wrong?
Go ahead.
"He looked at me with his one big brown eye." You know, like that. But it's really, it goes, "He looked at me with his big brown eye." So I didn't even sing the lyric that I wanted to sing, which was, "He looked at me with his one good eye."
Okay.
And still you persecute me. Still you bleed me. Still you scourge me. Still you shove the crown of thorns down.
All right, Margaret, don't get so dramatic, okay? Still you scourge me. Still, I ask you, don't sing the song because it is not a respectful song. It sounds to me like you're doing comedy.
I got a couple of chuckles, yes.
Oh, yeah, but I'm the guy that's laughing inappropriately. All right, we'll be right back, folks. 877-876-PHIL. By the way, I feel like I've got something in my left eye, which is no comment.
Oh, yeah, right. Now you're making your jokes.
No, it's not a comment on your end. I actually do feel like I have something in my left eye. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is
you
our bitch.
You look at me with a big brown
the
eye.
Phil Hendry Show.
You're not seeing it.
Man, you don't even know how to sing it.
Yeah, I do. You're not going to see anything yet.
listening to the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
Ted Bell from Ted's in Beverly Hills is joining us from Beverly Hills tonight. Ted, I know you want to weigh in on the singing and the business end of this conversation. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and we don't need to, this is not a commercial announcement. I know we had you and I had a little difference of opinion there. You know, when I was on the last time, I'm not trying to get free commercial time. I appreciate you putting me on the air. I wanted to comment because I did hear Margaret was singing "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, Margaret," and I like that.
Well, it was an ode to Vlad Jones.
Well, now it's Vlad Jones. So
it was Vlad Carson, Vlad Palmer.
Excuse me, I'm trying not to belch. I'm sorry.
That is so crude.
I would rather let the gas come out and not ruin the lining of my esophagus than hold it in.
No comment, all right? No comment. But, Margaret, you know, I've known you and Frank for a lot of years, and I love and respect both of you very much.
Thank you.
But I will tell you, if it was anybody else who did that in my restaurant, I'd throw them right through the door. I'd use their head to open the door. That's how much, but I wouldn't do it to you.
Well, of course you wouldn't do it to me, because if you did it to me, there would not be much more of your life left.
Well, I mean, okay, if you want to put it that way. Wow.
Well, Margaret.
He's talking about opening a door with my head.
Not you. It would probably be Frank or the man that was with you, whoever that would be.
That would be my husband.
All right. Well, I would never anticipate doing it because I wouldn't let you do it. I wouldn't do it to you. I said I would do it to somebody else. This is taking me far afield of the reason why I called in, Phil. I'm calling in because the night the lights went out on Broadway, you were talking about the singing. And you mentioned Billy Joel, and you mentioned the Guess Who.
Well, I was talking, when we were talking about Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Right, Bachman-Turner Overdrive, and I heard you say that they're very big in Miami, right?
Bachman-Turner Overdrive, not now, but I mean back in the day when I was at a rock station in Miami, we played a lot of Guess Who, we played a lot of BTO, and we played Billy Joel. And I think it's because in Miami at that time, there were New Yorkers, and there were Canadians. You had a lot of Canadians coming for the winter.
Well, you don't have to give us the tourist. Just,
hey, Margaret, you know something? Don't direct the interview, all right?
Yeah, come on, Margaret, easy. So you were saying about Bachman-Turner Overdrive about the song, and Randy Bachman had that way of singing.
Yeah, but I said, you know, I like those guys. They're good. I like Billy Joel. I would not call myself a fan of Billy Joel, and this is no comment on Billy Joel. He's a great. God knows he doesn't need Phil Henry, but just for me. Billy Joel is one of those guys that writes good songs. I hear songs that he writes that I like, and I also hear songs that he writes that I, you know, that I don't like.
Well, all right. That's what I want to comment on, because, Margaret, I think what Phil is saying here, it's not so much that he doesn't like your singing, it's just that particular song.
That's exactly right.
When you're singing, you know, he looked at me with a big brown eye, and, of course, the first thing I had to do was turn the radio off because I had Luke in the car with me, my son. And
why would you turn the radio? Why?
Because you're talking about a big brown eye.
Don't raise your voice, okay?
Well, I can't understand why she doesn't understand that, you know?
I don't know what that means.
All right, well, Margaret, let's just put it this way. You know, it can mean something crude, all right?
Yeah, it means
shut up. Nobody's asking you, and you're on the air.
You got to put a leash on that. I don't know what the, you know, that you got that in the studio?
I got what?
That, what's his name, Bud?
Yeah.
Well, you better put a leash or a dog collar on it, because he's, I don't know. But anyway, that's what I was talking about, okay? Now,
what were you talking? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the fact, I'm talking.
Look at Ted, lower your voice, man.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the fact that Billy Joel wrote songs that are memorable, but not all of them. Like the one that you were talking about. What was it?
I said the song that I like from Billy Joel is New York State of Mind.
Yeah, okay, all right. New York State of Mind. Then he did the other one. When the Lights Went Out on Broadway. You know that one? Now, that's the one, Bud, you were telling me.
Yeah, that's the one that goes, that the night that the lights went out on Broadway, when they killed an innocent man.
What?
What is that?
That the night the light...
No, I know what Bud's saying. That's the night the lights went out on Broadway, and they strung up an innocent man.
That's not the song I'm thinking of.
Well, it better be, because if you're talking about a song called The Night the Lights Went Out on Broadway...
No, that's not it. That's the night the lights went out, but it's some other place.
That's the night the lights went out, but it's some other place. Is that the name of it?
No, that's not the name of it.
Yeah, I know. The night. Sing it again, bud.
That's the night that...
Well, I can do it better. That's the night that the lights went out on Broadway. That's the night that they did something to an innocent man.
They killed him is what they did.
Yeah, they executed him.
Yeah, on Broadway.
No, I know it is. They say the neon lights are bright on the Broadway.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. We're getting further and further away from whatever this song is.
No, you got it right. I just don't know. The melody sounds wrong, you know.
I'm telling you right now, that ain't it.
It goes like this. They say the neon lights are bright when they killed an innocent man. I know it's something like that.
Man, you got that so far jacked up, you don't... Yeah, it'll never recover, man.
Yeah, we'll never get the melody now. You just took a whole left turn with that.
But you're singing the song on Broadway, okay?
Ain't that what you guys are saying?
No, we're not saying that. We're saying the lights went out or something went out.
Yeah, you better believe something.
It sounds to me like the whatever bulb was over your heads collectively just went out. I think you guys have burned out the one good idea bulb that went...
Okay, Ted, you know, I'm sorry, I can't think of it.
Well, the whole reason why I'm saying all of this is, you know, Billy Joel used to come into my restaurant. Billy Joel lived out here. He was with his wife at the time,
Christy Brinkley.
No, it wasn't her. It was the other one. It was the one that made him, the one that managed him, the one that,
Well, I don't know.
All right, anyway, they used to come here all the time. And I'd say to him, Billy, I love you. I think you're fantastic. Why don't you... do the piano, man, huh? Because I had a piano at that time. He had an upright, and he'd say, he'd blow me off. And I'd be like, okay. And that's when I started to hate him, you know? And
why would you hate the guy? Why would you hate him? He's in your restaurant eating, right?
Yeah.
And he's patronizing your restaurant. Why would you hate him?
I asked him if he would do me the honor. I would be honored if he would come in a couple of nights a week and, you know, tinkle the ivories.
Billy Joel.
Yeah, no. Liberace. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Billy Joel is a big star. Even when he came into your restaurant, he was a big star, right?
What do you mean by big star?
Had he had the hit record.
Had he come out with the Piano Man.
How does that go?
Sing me a song, you're a piano man. Sing me a song, you're a piano man. Like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, was he a star or wasn't he? Did you know of him? Did you know him?
Yeah, I did. I knew him and I knew his wife.
And you want this guy to play piano in your lounge?
Big deal. I asked the guy, would you hold forth a couple of nights?
Yeah, let me ask, did you put a jar on the piano?
Of course.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ted. He's got to be kidding me. Billy Joel is going to sing with a jar on the piano.
Well, you just said you didn't like him.
I would never insult the man that way. Whether I didn't say I didn't like him. I like him a lot. I don't know. I'll tell you, I saw him and Elton John.
Oh, you saw that tour?
I saw Billy Joel and Elton John in Miami, and it was phenomenal. It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. We'll be back next hour. Back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we went hunting for, you know, this song.
Well, I think I know this song you're talking about. Well,
hold on, Bud Dickman, who is with our staff as well as Robert Leonard. Did you guys find the song?
Yeah, we're just loading it up right now.
I've got into this big long discussion. I don't know why, but. We're talking about Billy Joel. All of this started when we were talking about a guy with one eye. And, you know.
We were talking about my friend. You're the one that turned it into a discussion of Bachman-Turner Overdrive. Or.
No, you did. You're the one that wanted to sing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet that you rewrote for I Looked at Him with the Big Brown Eye. And then Ted got upset because he had to turn the radio off in the car. He was driving with his son.
See, that's what I don't understand.
Think about it. God, three guesses and the first two don't count.
Yeah.
What does that mean, three guesses?
Never mind, Margaret. So, the song, as I was saying about Billy Joel, okay, you know, and this may be getting into a territory that is decidedly old guy territory, although for some reason, and I could be wrong, Billy Joel strikes me as an artist that crosses a lot of generational lines. I think there's still even younger fans of his, but he was a big, big hit maker for a long time. And I played his music when I was a disc jockey back in the day on album rock radio. You wouldn't think of Billy Joel as an AOR artist, an album-oriented artist, but he was. Meaning we played him right out of the same box with Led Zeppelin and the Stones and Jimi Hendrix, you know.
I don't understand that. I'd play him on a Frank Sinatra station.
Billy Joel? No, you didn't. Uh-uh. So, anyway, I was never a big fan, but there were songs of his that I liked. And one of them was this song, The Night the Lights Went Out on Broadway or something. And it turned out you found it, right, bud?
Yeah, we got it right here.
Okay, this song was actually... This song, it's funny to say this, this song is called Miami 2017. And then it goes into the... Here it is. Is this it, bud?
Yeah, it's it. This is on the Broadway.
Miami 2017, and it was a song that Billy Joel...
Way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone.
What the hell is this?
Thought he'd stop at
yeah, this is Billy Joel, isn't it?
Before he went home to her.
This is that freaking night... Get out of here with this.
No, this is it. I swear to God. Let it. Listen to it.
That's not Billy Joel.
Yeah, well... Yeah, he was younger.
When he was younger.
Yes.
You're telling me that's a man's voice.
Phil, would you relax? You haven't heard the song in a long time.
Amos Boy Seth. What the...
He got mad and he saw...
This is not Billy Joel, okay?
Yeah, it is.
That's Vicki Lawrence, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia.
Well, I only looked at what the part that said the...
I looked at the part that said the lights went out. How many songs have been called about lights going out?
There's a lot of them. There's
go ahead, Mumbles.
Hey, how about Boom Boom Out Go the Lights? Pat Travers, yeah.
Okay, big deal. You thought of one. Name another one.
Well, there's three of them right there. The lights went out in Georgia, the lights went out on Broadway, and Boom Boom Out Go the Lights, which is going to happen to you if I don't hear that song right now. See, it ain't there.
No, I got it. Swear to God, I got it. Please don't.
I don't even need to hear the song now, man, okay? I've had it with the song. I've had it with listening to this, because one of the things that I wanted to hear was the... here it is. This is it. This was the live version of The Night the Lights... Not The Night the Lights Went Out. Miami 2017. Huh?
Well, that is obnoxious.
What is?
Oh, all of that Moog synthesizers. All of those keyboard players from the 70s and 80s thought they were just so wonderful with that...
I think it sounds kind of cool, like it's a spaceship.
What is that, man? That sounds like Parliament Funkadelic.
Gay.
This is Billy Joel. This is the Miami 2017. You know, the lights went out. Yeah. I've seen the lights go out on Broadway. That was it.
Oh, I've seen the lights go out on...
That's what I was singing. They say the neon lights is bright.
No, that's not... That's a different song, man. Just because it has Broadway in the title. Hold on.
I seen the lights go out on Broadway.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh? Saw the Empire State lay low.
Oh, this one. Yes.
I like this song, man.
Life went on beyond the Palisades.
What's this about?
It's about the lights.
Lights going out in Georgia?
Not the lights going out in Georgia. He saw the lights go down on Broadway just because the song...
Yeah, the concert out in Brooklyn.
There it is. I tell you what we'll do. I will close the show with it. How about that? Because we have to talk, man. This is spoken word entertainment, all right? We got to talk, baby.
I don't care, man. That song's okay. It ain't the best song I ever heard, but the lights go out.
What's the best lights go out song?
Nah, he don't even know what he's talking about.
Why are you talking to him?
I'm talking because he's here, bud. What's the best lights go out song?
What, you talking? You think I'm stupid?
No, I think you're stupid when it comes to this topic, yeah. Hey, bud, why don't you find me Miami 2017? I've seen the lights go out on Broadway, and he brings me Vicki Lawrence.
There's the lights went out.
You better believe the lights went out. Any others?
There's a song about Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. But I don't know if the lights went out.
Splish Splash, I was taking a bath. Okay, thanks a lot, bud. Only on this show, man, I can ask a simple question like, you know, I could simply say something along the lines of, hey, who's playing this weekend in the NFL? And I got Margaret telling me about a one-eyed guy and, It's nuts.
Well, you were talking about a prosthetic eye on your friend, which you failed to talk about.
I'm talking about my friend in Miami. This is a poor chap that I know who was acting irresponsibly one night back in our younger days. I wasn't there. I had no idea. He told me about it. Something blew up.
Well, I'll tell you, that's irresponsible, all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can say we were acting very irresponsibly that night. One thing led to another, and something blew up. You know?
Yes, and he lost his eye.
He did. He lost his eye. He lost one of his eyes. He said this bottle blew up, and he walked over to the mirror just to see what exactly. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but he walked over to the mirror just to see what kind of damage was done to his face. And there was a shard of glass sticking out of his right eye, and that was the end of his eye, you know. And so he went to the doctor, which I guess is...
Yeah, that would be indicated.
Yeah, that's what you'd want to do. Okay, I better go to the doctor now because I have the... And in any event, he wore a patch over that eye. Now, I don't believe that he had a prosthetic eye because I don't think you were... I think the eye was too badly damaged. And I also think that in those days, it was the late 1970s, maybe they had not come up with the prosthetic eyes that were good enough, you know?
Yeah, they got ones now. Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, now they have prosthetic eyes, I think, that will actually turn with the musculature, as the eyes, back in the old days, you put a glass eye in, and that's exactly what it looked like. You had one eyeball that was swinging around looking at all kinds of stuff, and this other one was like just staring at you.
Yeah, it was very disquieting. Frank had an army buddy who had lost an eye in the army or in the wartime or something, and he had the one eyeball that just stared straight ahead, and I remember feeling uncomfortable, and I went back and got changed. I was in a very low-cut gown. All right, are you following?
Yeah, I'm following.
Sort of.
Well, what don't you get?
Just finish the story.
Anyway, I was in a very low-cut gown. We were having dinner. And I said to Frank, I don't know what's up with him, but that eyeball is... And Frank said, well, it's very low-cut. So I went and I changed into a very high-neck sweater. I think I even put on an overcoat. And I even put on some mittens just to cover up. And still, the eyeball stared. So I later said to a girlfriend of mine, I said, I really have to have breast reduction. And she said, why? Because this guy couldn't stop, or at least part of him couldn't stop staring at me.
Well, when did you figure out it was the eyeball?
Well, when did I figure out it was the eyeball? I think what you're missing here... Oh, so you're saying it was the glass eye?
Yes, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Obviously, that's what it was with you.
It said one eyeball.
Well, no, I said at least part of him couldn't take his eye off of me.
Well, Margaret, now you know, okay?
No, I knew it. I knew later, subsequent, but all right.
You know, it's not to say you're not an attractive woman. I'm not saying that. And did you actually get breast reduction?
I did.
Well, you got your breasts reduced for no reason.
Excuse me?
All right, you got them reduced for a good reason, but that being the trigger of a guy's one...
Phil, I really want to leave tonight. If all you're going to do is laugh...
Look, I'm entitled to laugh, because I've had more people on the show tonight. You're telling me that you're sitting there, and there's a guy's eye staring at your breasts. So you go and get changed. You put on a new dress. You cover up. You come back. You sit down. The guy's eye is still staring at your breasts. And you're thinking, wow, at least part of this guy...
Yes.
Well, what? Who? Where? How does one eye keep staring at...
Get my husband on the phone, please.
You're not leaving, Margaret, or I'm firing you. You know the deal. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up next. Looking ahead here to the week, and we'll talk with Jay briefly about what the challenges were during this terrible, terrible superstorm Sandy. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And PhilHenryShow.com. You know, we have a couple of things that are happening in the life and times of the Phil Henry Show. It's been a lot of evolution of this show over the last several years. We are about to take we're about to take the brand, if you want to call it. That's what everybody uses this word now, brand. You know, there's a show, there's the Phil Henry Show, there's the Phil Henry website. Well, it's the brand. We're about to take it out on the road. We're about to go live. And by live, I don't mean a live broadcast. I mean a live appearance or a series of appearances. Now, I'm not going to announce any dates now, but I want you to know that we have a one-man show scheduled tentatively now for February, the spring of 2013, and or I should say late winter. And to that end, we have been rehearsing and plotting and planning and doing all of that. You can get updates on all of that and more at our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can also get news on our daily podcasts. We have a episode 62, which features Mr. Eric Hester, a TV producer, talking about a new idea. He has a show called Surprise. And just to give you a taste of what that's about, well, you know what? Listen to the podcast, because I'm not...
Well, you're not very proud of it, are you?
I'm not the guy that did the show. He did. So check that out, as well as our daily podcast of this here show. We also have our archives, close to 5,000 hours of original radio going back over a decade. We have our news feed. We have a video cast. And by the way, we are now Apple compatible for on-demand video at the Phil Henry Show website. So with your iPhone or your iPad, you can access our video cast on demand. And it is not live streaming, but it is anything in the video catalog that we have, and we are going to begin to expand that video library quite a bit, and you'll be able to see it. So it's all there at philhenryshow.com. Now, the big news, other than Sandy, was this, believe it or not. If Disney is buying Lucasfilm, how will that affect Star Wars Episode 7 and other Star Wars projects? Any word on what that movie will be about? Well, this is a Lucasfilm source that was interviewed. We know that whatever the plot of Episode 7, George Lucas won't have a heavy hand in the day-to-day creation of it. He's apparently written the treatments for the films, but he won't produce or direct. An excellent opportunity for another visionary to jettison Jar Jar Binks out of an airlock permanently. So that is an idea as to how well Episode 6 went. But the point being, there is a Episode 7 scheduled. Lucasfilm has been sold to Disney. And
what? Who cares?
Well, I mean, it's just information, you know.
Yeah, but okay, so what? I mean, if Lucas is not going to direct it,
well, this gives an opportunity for another auteur, you know.
Whatever that is.
Another creative type behind the camera.
Well, you know, I think that I don't think I. Who cares? You know, I mean. It's not like Gene Roddenberry. It's not like Gene Roddenberry directed all of the Star Treks. Gene Roddenberry created and he gave life to the original ideas behind Star Trek. You know, the ship and the crew and sort of what they were going to do. But different people directed. It was episodic. It was television. But with Star Wars, it's got Lucas all over it, man. I mean, it's to the point where it's they were directed by him, and I'm sure he had a big hand even in casting. So it's very strange to me to imagine Star Wars, and I'm not even a big Star Wars fan, you know.
Well, then you don't know what's really best for it, do you?
If I'm not a Star Wars fan, I don't know what's best for it. Maybe not, but I'll tell you this. I've got an opinion about it, all right? I was there when the first one, I saw, you know, give me credit, man. I saw the first Star Wars when it came out in the theaters, sat there and watched Star Wars in a movie theater setting as those damn, you know, what were these, the little jets, man, whatever they called those things.
Those were the Star Wars.
Yeah, they're the Star Wars jets.
Whatever, I don't know. But those cats were going down to the little caverns there in the Death Star, and that was like state-of-the-art special effects. State-of-the-art special effects for that time. And to see that on the big screen was nuts. I don't know. So anyway, as for the plot, Star Wars superfans have a theory on what they'll be seeing next. But I have a surprise for them. They're wrong. If you're a fan, you're definitely going to want to read on. Who is writing this? I don't know if this is... The Wing Fighters? Okay, thanks, Dan. X-Wing Fighters. This is being written by some Lucasfilm source that has been given a mysterious little byline. First of all, you should know that there is an official canon concerning the Star Wars universe. Those stories cover the years after the Rebel victory, after Return of the Jedi. It's written in a series of books called The Thrawn Trilogy by author Timothy Zahn. Diehard Star Wars fans know the trilogy well, and they say that a big screen adaptation of the first book, Heir to the Empire, would make the most logical Episode 7. Of all the speculation out there about the content of this new trilogy, that's the single most concrete idea, says Eric Geller of the fan site The Force Net. It's Eric, who is unemployed, does nothing but sit around all day and keep his website up. I'm just kidding. It's almost inevitable that the story will take place in the same time frame as those books. So what happens in those books? Well, Luke Skywalker meets a real would-be assassin lady named Mara Jade, who was trained to avenge the Emperor by... get out of here.
It's already boring.
It is. It's already Dullsville. However, I guess if you're really a super fan...
Well, they're people, Phil. What about Harry Potter?
Harry Potter is a... Harry Potter's different. Harry Potter, it was a very contemporary phenomenon. Harry Potter and all the stuff that happened about Harry happened right when the book came out and then the movie was made in a fairly short time frame. Star Wars goes back to the 70s. I wonder if people are going to get burned out. I predict Star Wars burnout.
You're going to say that people aren't going to want to go see it? Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of people still want to see it.
I think you're wrong. I think there's going to be Star Wars burnout. Although, you know, you never know. But just because they do all their research and they do all of their focus groups, I can tell you right now, Bob, we've got a movie coming up that's got to be Star Wars. You know.
Well, Phil, these studios make a lot of money because they know what they're doing.
They also have some stinkers, man. May I just two words for you, John Carter?
Oh, well, you know what? John Carter's going to make money. Don't worry, it'll make money.
All right, fine. It'll make money, but they fired a guy behind it. It'll make money, but the guy that green-lit it got his ass thrown in the street. It'll make money, but, you know, people, all kinds of people lost jobs. Yeah, okay. If it's going to make money and don't sweat it, then we all make mistakes. Why didn't that guy still have his job? So in any event, this... I just thought I'd say it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm right, then I'll look like a genius. Star Wars burnout, big time. People are sick of it. Thank you. All right, coming up on the Phil Henry Show, we still have to talk to Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the situation, you know, mostly yesterday, but even throughout all of the problems that were felt and heard during the storm. And also Jay's going to give us an update on some other security questions in and around town here with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. As a matter of fact, if you've got him online right now, hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm real good, Phil. Thanks for having us on the program. Enjoying us here program right now.
So we do want to talk a little bit about the challenges that face you guys when you're with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're not an official police agency.
We are a enterprise, Phil. We are entrepreneurial police agency, and that's the term that we're using now because we think it makes more sense as an entrepreneurial police agency. We look over the shoulder of the regular state municipal kind of police, and so
you're an entrepreneurial. Do you make money?
No, we don't make money unless people. We do have donations, but we don't even take donations because we had donations briefly, but we decided not to do donations because it made us look sort of like, in a way, panhandlers or a lot of the people who have very unusual diseases, you know, that'll sit outside of a church, you know, if they have a leg that's bent backward or something like that. So we decided that we would not do that. On the other hand, we will be, if you want to pay me.
Okay, hold on, okay?
What's that?
Hold on, okay?
I can't hear you.
All right, put him on hold. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We were talking about the superstorm Sandy.
And Phil, if I could, I want to also weigh in on the Lucasfilm because it has some kind of, it does have potential for a security situation for us as well because of the lines and the popularity of the this kind of movie, you know, and also, you know, I have to be honest with you, I, you know, as a young person back in the 70s, I did enjoy going to see the Star Wars. Now, George Lucas...
So you want to segue to that?
Well, if I could for just a moment.
Go ahead.
George Lucas has made a lot of money. I dare say he's made enough money to keep himself and generations of his children and offspring and so on and so forth wealthy going all the way down a line. I don't know, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, however far down you want to go. I don't doubt that George Lucas will have a legacy not unlike, for instance, the Astors or the like a Vanderbilt or I don't know, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in that family, no question.
Right.
They just sold, by the way, Disney just bought Lucasfilm for $4
billion. Right there, $4 billion. $4 billion. That's a lot of money, and that's George Lucas. All right. Okay, so he's done that. So why then is George Lucas boxing up all these movies, doing all these books? Why is he still, even though he's a billionaire now, why is he still trying to milk this for all it's worth? Because in my opinion, and I agree with you, there's going to be a backlash, you know, likes the way you're never going to believe in.
Mr. Sandhouse, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your experience in the film business? Because the reason why I ask, what do you mean there'll be a backlash?
I think that I agree with Mr. Henry.
Yes, but you're not a movie mogul. You're a security...
Ma'am, my job is to see where there's a security threat. And the fact that Lucas is going to ask people to spend more money yet again on another Star Wars movie is that... I think that's going to make some... Can I use just the slang, Phil?
Go ahead.
That's going to piss some people off, okay? That's going to piss some people off. And
who is it going to make angry? I don't understand.
Well, I think what's... If George Lucas is coming up to you and saying, give me more money on a Star Wars, my reaction would be, and I think a lot of people, are you kidding? How much of my money do you need? You know, I've spent more money and more money. My own son, this is two generations of Star Wars fan. There was me, and then now there's my son, Brad. And both of us are Star Wars geeks. We buy the hooded... I bought a whole Darth Vader costume. My son's got a Darth Vader suit. We even put on a Mickey Mouse suit with a big giant Darth Vader head. And
sounds pretty good. What's it look like?
Well, no, it isn't pretty good. It's the most asinine thing you ever saw, but that's what they're selling right now.
What is it?
It's a Darth Vader head the size of Mickey Mouse's head. So what it is it's Mickey Mouse is Darth Vader.
I don't know. Is that...
No, that's not the plot. That's a merchandise thing.
Yes, yeah, merchandise.
Oh.
Right. So, and we went out and bought it. So now there's a big, gigantic Darth Vader hat. And my son said, Dad, how am I going to wear this? And I go, I don't know. I said, they got us again. Lucas got me again. So there's a lot of anger out there about Lucas sticking his hand out and saying, hi, I'm George Lucas. And you go, you reach to shake it, and he goes, no. And he just keeps the, and then he turns the palm up.
Boy, that's an elaborate description.
Well, that's what's happening, Phil.
Well, I think you're wrong.
No, I sort of agree. George Lucas, too many times to the well.
So George Lucas needs to just back off, huh?
Oh, yeah, but he's not going to back off. He's going to come out with another Mickey Mouse, or not a Mickey Mouse, he's going to come out with a Star Wars movie, and it's going to be, and I think I agree with you, Phil, it's going to be burnout, and I think there's going to be backlash, you know?
What?
Backlash.
Backlash on the film. All right, we're talking with Jay Sandhouse of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I want to get on Frank Gray. Or not Frank, Harvey. Is he with us?
Yeah.
Harvey Wireman. Mr. Wireman has worked all sides of the street in the entertainment business, as well as being a criminal defense attorney. Harvey, I know you're not really an entertainment lawyer, but you've worked in that field. You've known entertainers, actors. You've represented, you know, a lot of them.
I was going to ask Mr. Wireman, have you ever represented an actor in a murder case?
Mr. Santos, to answer your question, yes, I have. I represented Guy
Guy Belmondo, and they... I've never heard of him. No one's ever heard of... Yeah, yeah. No one's ever heard of Guy Belmondo because he went to prison. But he had shot up a cafe out here in West Hollywood back in the 80s and took a hostage. And the police finally closed in on him the next day. He went off to Greece. I think he's in prison still, but a very elderly man.
What's the guy's name?
Who's there?
It's Phil Hendry.
Oh, hey, Phil.
Yeah, what is his name?
It's Guy Belmondo, or Guy Belmondo, or Guy Del Greco. I think I've heard about Guy Del Greco. Well, you wouldn't have heard of either one, because neither guy, not that there's two, there's only one guy, but it's either Belmondo or Del Greco. And I think it was Guy, or it could have been Gary.
Well, what was...
Oh, don't get in a tiff, Phil.
Phil, I think I know. It was Guy Bel Greco, not the...
Guy Bel Greco, Guy Belmondo, or Guy Del Greco. But either one of them got thrown into prison for taking a hostage and shooting a cafe up.
Did he kill anyone?
No, he did not. That's why I was able to save him from the death house. Although in California, it doesn't make any difference. That's very interesting. I was asking, have you ever, or Phil asked you about actors, because that kind of blends the two together. Yeah, you know, I have a hard time understanding you, Jay, and I don't mean any offense, but your very thick Pennsylvania accent, it sounds like you have, like you're, how do I put this?
Never mind, it just, you know, turn your hearing aid up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'll try and talk clearer. Yeah, that'd be great, because, I don't want to say.
Okay. Harvey Wireman joining us. All right, the question here, Harvey, the Lucasfilm purchase of the, Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm.
Well, I think that Disney purchased, I think Disney purchased Lucasfilm as a way of hedging their bets when it comes to this space creature in way outer, you know, the way space, way out of, just way the hell off the planet Earth. Anything that has to do with outer space, you have to go down the Lucasfilm road. Disney is a great fantasy and family-oriented entertainment business. But
why are you doing that?
Hold on for a minute.
What's that?
Jay was commenting on you clearing your throat.
Clearing your throat, sir? Yes, sir. That's what I'm doing. Did I finish?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, Disney has been a fantasy franchise. They have the family franchise, and they have all the Mickey Mouse, and they do all of the Peter Pan, and you name it. And I heard Phil talking earlier about a Peter Pan costume. Well, if you don't like Peter Pan costumes, Phil, you don't want to work for Disney, because everywhere you turn, there's somebody, with a Peter Pan outfit.
What do you mean by that?
They affect what they think is going to make the... was going to look good. I don't know. So anyway, Lucasfilm, in my opinion, is not going to be worth a pinch of you-know-what, because just as you gentlemen have been discussing, Lucasfilm isn't going to be... nobody wants to see another Star Wars movie. They don't want to see it. And for you, Mr. Santos, to go out and buy a gigantic Darth Vader helmet, that didn't make any sense.
It makes sense if you fit Mickey Mouse's head.
Well, what kind of sense does that make to put a Darth Vader helmet on Mickey Mouse?
Well, it's Disney buying it.
Buying what?
Disney buying Lucasfilm.
No, I know that. Disney bought Darth Vader and all, but now they want to try to cross-promote with... not going to...
Well, they sold a helmet to Jay.
Okay, well, that's Jay. But I see it as a disaster.
All right, we're talking with Harvey Wireman here from San Marino, California tonight, discussing the Lucasfilm purchase the Disney purchase of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, it's the other way around. There's no way Lucas is going to be able to buy. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's not going to happen. The day that George Lucas has enough money to buy, he's coming damn close to it. He's coming damn close to it. But I think, Phil, the big problem there is Lucas coming around and saying, "Hi, I'm George Lucas. Give me more money." I think people are going to have a very, very, very bad reaction to that. I think people are going to say,
you know what, I've had it with you. Turn around and they'll just lay their boot right up as you know what. I would.
You would react in a hostile way.
I would put my boot right up as you know what. But think of this guy at how much is enough? How much money do you need? And this guy wants to come to my house and say, hey, how about kicking in one more? No way.
All right. Harvey Weinman, Jay Santos, and Disney buying Lucasfilm. Are we going to get to talking about this hurricane?
You know, Phil, I'd rather not. I don't know enough about it. I want to talk more about this. More fun. More fun. Yeah.
All right. More fun. This guy is the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our online at philhenryshow.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/philhenryfans, P-H-A-N-S, facebook.com/philhenryfans. And Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley and even Harvey. No, Harvey doesn't have a Twitter account.
Don't know how to use it.
All right, we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't. Why would I want to have a Twitter account? I don't care. I got a Twitter account.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
They told me about that, but I can tell you right now, there's never been a better time, I think, to do invest. You talk about buying gold.
Yeah. All right, we're back here, guys. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Weinman and Jay Santos. Jay, just a quick comment on the storm situation over the last few days. Did you hear of any problems? Did you hear of anybody getting out of hand? Did you hear of
I don't think so, Phil. You know, we mostly people were just, you know, hunkered down and trying to, you know, get through it. I didn't hear of anybody. You go out into a storm like that and you think you're going to go and loot a store or something? Well, I love to see that. That's not going to happen. You're going to see a lot of looters getting flung far and wide. That would be that'd be one for the books, you know. And a lot of these people, you know, that they don't care about another human being at all. They don't give a damn what happens to people, and they go out and they loot a store. And I think that a storm like this is the best possible thing that could happen to somebody like that, because the minute they hit the street with their television set or their pair of running shoes, you know, a lot of them go and get their
What is wrong with you, anyway?
Well, who is talking now?
But it's Jay Santos. He's clearing his throat.
I'm clearing my throat.
I know. Every now and again, you're all, yee-haw.
Well, sir, I'd rather have that for a problem than be talking like I've got a quart of blank in my mouth.
Oh, boy. You know, if you were standing right in front of me, old man or no old man, I'd have to clock you.
You know something, Mr. Santos? I, old man, I may be. You don't scare me.
Okay, gentlemen, is this how we're going to end up?
Yes, this is how. No, we're not going to end up this way. He is. He's going to end up this way. He's going to wind up in the street.
All I said was, we talk about, what is that?
The hell is that?
Something I'd rather hear, to be honest with you.
Is this the light? Is this that song, The Light? The light went out in my eyes, or...
Yeah, there, it's The Night the Light Went Out.
The Night the Light... Get out of here!
Wait a second, you're treating me...
Good night.
Night, everybody!
Good night.
Go out on Broadway. I saw the Empire State lay low. Life went on beyond the Palisades. They all bought Cadillacs and left there long ago. We held a concert out in Brooklyn. to watch the island bridges blow. They turned our power down and drove us underground, but we went right on with the show.
That's a Billy Joel song I like, you know.
Yeah, you don't like his music.
I didn't say I didn't like his music. I love his music, and some of his music I just, you know.
But not that one song about a fire didn't start a fire.
I love that, the night that they started the fire.
The night they started, you guys with this, the night this and the night that, okay?
Well.
It ain't the night anything, okay? It's called We Didn't Start the Fire. I'm not really nuts about that song. And also the thing about Billy Joel is, you know, he's got some hardcore, really serious fans, and you don't want to be disrespectful, you know, I'm serious, man. It's not the Beatles, and it ain't Elvis, and it's not, you know, Kurt Cobain. It's Billy Joel. But hey, the dude's got his fans, and they love him, and I respect that. And you know what? He's got some songs I really, really love. So that's about as good as it gets from Phil Hendry. Just call me uneducated. Call me, you know,
just don't call me late for dinner.
That's not funny.
Shut your hole. Shut your filthy sewer.
All right. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And like that, baby. We'll see you again tonight. Don't forget to go online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy all of the many things that we have for use at philhendryshow.com. Till tonight. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.